Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of a podcast named Tim. We are a father and son movie review podcast available everywhere podcasts are. Whatever platform you're using, please like, share, subscribe, review, all that good stuff. And of course, we are available on YouTube as well. So if you go to YouTube and type in a podcast named Tim, you can see Mandalorian reviews, Power Rangers reviews, and other wonderful things coming to the show. Again, same thing there, like, share, subscribe. If you want to interact with us on social media, you can do so on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Again, that is podcast named Tim. And last place, podcastnamedtim.com, where we have a giant wall of every movie we've ever reviewed and links to every episode in the archives. So I am Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir?
I am doing fantastic.
Well, we are behind the curtain. We're testing out some new stuff here. And I realized that I now have two different things of where I should be looking, and I'm deciding where I should look.
Look wherever you want to look, because we can look only as we can look.
Absolutely. I should say, before we get far into it, today we are doing kind of a political episode in some respects. As everyone knows, there was elections in the United States of America.
Election?
Congratulations to President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris. Today we're doing Idiocracy, All of the King's Men, and Air Force One. So a nice mix of quote-unquote political movies. With that being said, well, yeah, what else? What's going on? What you been watching? Obviously, I watched Mando 2. I have my review up on YouTube, and it's on our Facebook page if you want to check that out. What did you think of Mando 2, Episode 2?
I mean, again, I just love that show. They're just carrying on I wish Jon Favreau had maybe done some of the last three movies. He seems to have an understanding of the universe, in which you are far more into than I am from your reading and studying. But it just has the feel of it. I don't know. He must be a true Star Wars fan. Or just an intelligent guy, I don't know. But I loved it. I mean, I don't know. Would you call it? I know sometimes you call things filler episodes.
No,
well, I didn't think so, because he's still continuing on where he needs to go. He's just got a lot of a lot of stops along the way and a lot of issues to deal with.
Now, to me, so look, here's the thing with filler, and I don't mind filler to be honest with you in episodes. When I think of filler, I think of like Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. There are full episodes you could rip out and you wouldn't have any character development or any plot progression, because it's just an actual side adventure. There was plot development. We got a follow-up from an earlier chapter and his consequences coming back to, you know, follow up. And so, and it's leading into the next episode. Plus, we got some interesting character development. Someone pointed out on one of the things I was watching, you know, you have Mando and his father-son relationship with the child. You have this frog lady, which that's what she's called, frog lady, and her daughters or whatever eggs, their relationship. And then you have Mama Spider and her relationship with her children. So to be honest, it's three different parents dealing with three different issues.
Right.
So
that way. Yeah, we watched it with Alex. Of course, when the fire started happening from the outside of the ship, he thought maybe it was Boba Fett, that maybe Boba was following them to keep track of where his armor is and just so what's going on with him, and ended up being the rebels, which was still a good story. I still like that it was them. I like how they wrote that back in. Love some of the moments. Absolutely loved. To me, my favorite scene is when they were flying, escorting his ship, and all of a sudden it went to a radio silence, and the X-wing started to open. It was like, you know what that means.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a cool shot, cool idea. It's a good show.
Yeah, that was great. And I don't think we're gonna see Fett for like the rest of the season. I think the Fett's going to be like every season, you're going to get like one little glimpse, and he's going to get closer and closer until like season four, when they finally have their confrontation.
Now, is that what's going to launch his show?
Yeah, I saw that. I have not read that article. Maybe we'll get like a Fett miniseries and then we'll get them two interacting. So,
Okay, I'm good with it.
but you know what's interesting? We got, an Obi-Wan show coming, obviously set on Tatooine. I'm assuming if a Fett show comes, it's going to be set on Tatooine, and The Mandalorian has at least one episode, it appears, this season on Tatooine. Look, there are other places in the Star Wars galaxy than
Well, yeah,
Tatooine.
the fact that they're filming in a complete green screen studio with floor, ceiling, and walls completely covered, they could go anywhere they want in a click of a computer button. So, I'm sure eventually they'll, which this planet that they ended up on, not sure where that is, but
I don't either. It was so in the trailer when I saw the trailers, I predicted it was going to be Ilum, which is where the Jedi would take younglings to get their lightsabers, their crystals. That was like their little trial. And it hasn't, I don't think it's been officially confirmed yet. It's actually what they ended up turning Starkiller Base into, was the same planet. And that's where I thought we were going when we saw the trailers for an ice planet, because it makes sense for, the Jedi connection and the Force and everything.
Right.
But
And of
apparently,
course, I immediately think Hoth. So.
yeah, that's what most people, yeah, everyone was like, it's either Hoth or Ilum. And then, of
Yeah.
course, it was just another ice planet.
And we loved, but just craziness that Yoda baby, or whatever we're calling it yet, the child, the whatever it is, kept eating the eggs.
That was hilarious.
Hilarious.
I did think we were going to get when all the spiders were coming through the wall or
Yeah.
the door, I thought we were going to get a little force action to stop them from the child.
I was wondering why he hasn't pulled that back out again, because
I think
he's looking like he's thinking about it, or giving him a look like, do you need some help? But what Alex and I kept thinking was that the Mama Frog was going to get killed, and Mando was going to get stuck with the babies now, and to incubate the eggs. He was going to have two things now to deal with, but she somehow made it through.
Yeah, I think Favreau is probably of the old 80s 70s wrestling philosophy. You just tease it, just tease it. So, well, anything else you want to talk about or things you watched before we hop into
Watched
these movies?
Rebecca last night on Netflix has done a remake of Alfred Hitchcock's Rebecca.
And how was that?
Was Lord Laurence Olivier and Joan Fontaine, and I forget who else was in the original. This had Lily James from Downton Abbey, back in the Downton Abbey kind of set. We liked it. It was it followed the book and the original closely, and then branched off where it could. But it was all right. It was it's a good tale anyway. It's a good story. I don't know if you're familiar with Rebecca at all.
I know it exists.
Yeah, but yeah, it was good. Other than that, continue watching Hung, which is still really good. We're almost done with that 70s show, so I'm going to start my new show. I think our new show is going to be The Goldbergs, because I've watched a few episodes here and there, and because of its 80s vibe, I'm feeling it, which we'll talk about later this episode, I think. And that's about it. I think the rest of it's just been watched some Texas football yesterday. Watched them beat my wife's West Virginia Mountaineers, so that's always fun. And look forward to the Pittsburgh Steelers game today.
We'll
Just kidding.
see.
I'm still a Cowboys guy. Just gonna be a rough one, I have a feeling. Or this will be
Yes.
the one that somehow we pull out and win, which would be
Just,
absolutely
yeah.
ridiculous. If we could ruin the, I think they're
They are undefeated.
defeated, correct? That would make my day.
Yeah, they're the only undefeated team left.
I'm not gonna
So.
hold my breath.
No. Although to be fair, Gal Gilbert or Garrett Gilbert or whatever his name is, he did play in the AAF, which was that other kind of league,
Right.
and I believe he actually did really well there. Now, obviously, different levels.
I'd feel more confident if he'd played in the XFL.
Yes.
Well,
Maybe he'll get a contract there soon. Maybe The Rock will call
I
him up
believe the Nucci will be in the XFL.
as a backup, but that's okay. Well, we're gonna go ahead and hop into these movies. Before we do that, we're gonna take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So our first movie of the week is Idiocracy, and of course came out in 2006. Our rating, 1 hour and 24 minute runtime, has a 6.6 from IMDb. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 76, so it is certified fresh, and an audience score of 60. It, of course, is written and directed by one Mike Judge, who we'll get into his style of humor and et cetera later, and stars Luke Wilson, Maya Rudolph, Dax Shepard, and Terry Crews. This is a movie we've seen several times. This was your selection for the week, so I guess I'll get into it first. I love this movie. I'm a sucker for satire in general, and political satire especially, is right in my wheelhouse. Mr. Judge, of course, has done a number of projects. King of the Hill, obviously, probably, I don't know if that's his most famous, but he's done a lot of stuff in the comedic field. That's probably his most longest running thing. I'm trying to pull up his page and
I'm trying to check what all he's done.
He's done a lot of different things, but this movie is a great. I like it because it's kind of a dystopian movie, but it's not the normal, you know, there's no more water or there's no more sand or there's no more this and the robots have taken over. It's just human beings have continued their trajectory of being idiots.
No more intelligence.
Yes. And that has caused things to not go well. And all we need is electrolytes. So what did you think of Idiocracy?
It didn't hold up on the third viewing.
Okay.
I'm just kind of tired of it. It was great. It was still fun. I still remember how original and how I laughed at the first one. But now, yeah, by the third view, and now I kind of know what's happening and where it's going. And it didn't really hold up for me quite as well.
Okay.
Look, again, I thought it was a movie we needed to touch on under this political episode.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd have picked something we hadn't seen before.
Right.
But, you know, again, everybody's performance is good. Maya Rudolph is fantastic. She's hilarious. Terry Crews is great. Dax Shepard is always funny to me. I think Dax Shepard's funny. Luke Wilson's his normal annoying kind of self, but for this, it worked perfectly. Story's good. I like the little silly stuff, the Costco references and the pets, you know, where you get everything and how dumb people are and how it was okay. It went from really good and then I liked it to now. Yeah, that's okay. Watch it. Definitely watch it, but don't watch it over and over and over again for me.
Right. So Mike Judge also did Office Space and is one of the writers, of course, of Beavis and Butthead. So
Beavis and Butthead. If he was Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, so Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, Office Space, and Idiocracy. That's a pretty good record, I would say.
Not too bad.
I love this movie. It's once a week, I quote this movie, and the quote I use it every time. I just someone says something, and I go, "I like money," but I do it in the proper inflection, of course, and I do that at least once a week. But it's fascinating. The society they created, it's weird because you can tell they're kind of poking fun at where we are now. But you can also see that it's kind of just society turned up to 11 in some respects. Right. And it's weird because it walks that balance of being so absurd that it would never happen. But at the back of your mind, you're like, well,
I don't know. We apparently are at 50% right now.
But and I just like the fact that, you know, the idea that he was just average now just being cryogenically frozen and waking up that it was like, well, now you're the smartest person in the world. I love the Costco stuff. That's fantastic, which I don't shop at those big box places like that. But I can't get a true appreciation for that, but, the whole movie. And Terry Crews, this is probably, I think, at that time when Terry Crews was really taking off. because this is around like White Girls and right. This is about all about the same time for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he big just box
stores. I don't shop at them either. But what came in mind is I used to work with someone that did.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, she was making a list one time,
mm-hmm.
and the list was like, I need the big thing of tater tots. We need some fish. And I think my husband wants to pick up the tires, some tires for the truck. And that to me was like, okay, that's just craziness. So, yeah.
But you don't think it holds up?
Again, only for me. I'm sure that everyone else will disagree with this. I know it definitely has a following. It just didn't hold up for me as well. And that did not mean that it became a bad movie. It just was like, I don't need to keep seeing it. I got it. I didn't need to see it again.
Yeah, I think it's I think it holds up. I think it's absolutely a movie everyone should watch at least once. I don't know if you would.
Or just wait about 25 years.
The original title of this of the movie was The United States of America, UHH. America. And the working title was 3001. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But I think this is the best Luke Wilson movie.
Since I'm struggling to think of another Luke Wilson movie right at this point, sure.
I think most people would probably say Old School.
Yeah,
or The Royal Tannenbaums. I don't
remember Old School. See, and I didn't care for that at all.
Okay.
That's kind of in that smart comedy that I'm not smart enough to figure out.
This is dumb comedy for us.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
We don't do a lot of comedies for the show. And because they're hard to me, they're the hardest movies to review. I don't know about you, but because you either get the joke or you don't get the joke. And it's kind of hard to discuss a joke and it's hard to be critical of a joke.
Well, yeah, you can't explain to somebody why it's funny because it could only be funny to you and the person that said it. So
yeah. But President Camacho, I think I might write him in at some point. Terry Crews was fantastic in this movie, and his just over the top persona was great. Is this a movie you would like to see more of, or are you satisfied?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. I am as well, but I just wanted to see your thoughts on that. And I really don't have much else to add to this movie. It's great.
They haven't made a show for it.
That would be interesting. I mean, he does have to, you know, build up society at this point. He has stopped. Well, he has become, because in the end, they get married, right? They have a couple kids. Right. And then you're waiting to see kind of the next great hope for society, essentially. Dax Shepard ends up as president at the end of the movie, right?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Hey, so. I'll take Kristen Bell as first lady any day.
Well, let's go ahead and put a bow on this. It is a good movie. I think it's a great movie. Everyone should watch it at least once. And that's pretty much
twice. Watch it twice because you miss some things the first time,
right?
And then put it away and just discuss it and quote it and be done with it.
Yes. And you all should, you know, like this podcast and share this podcast and like the YouTube channel because you know why? I like money.
We're on YouTube.
We are on YouTube, and we're going to go ahead and hop to our next film, which we're all good to go on, and it is All the Kingsmen, a movie I had never seen. It was my recommendation for the week. I read the synopsis and was intrigued. It came out in 1949. It has an approved rating, 1 hour and 50-minute runtime. It is directed by Robert Rosen. Stars Broderick Crawford, John Ireland, Joanne Drew, John Derrick, except Mercedes Mackenbridge. Mackenbridge, I guess that's how you say that.
Why not?
And it's the story, it's the rise and fall of a politician starts out with good intentions and maybe doesn't end up that way. It's a tale as old as time. Again, has a 7.5 on IMDb, a 95 on the tomato meter, and a 78 from the audience score. And it is an Oscar Best Picture winner. And the novel it is based off of is a Pulitzer Prize winning novel. So what did you think of your first viewing of All the King's Men?
I liked it. I mean, it's a story that's been told. We've got the absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. It wasn't a favorite, but it was, it was okay. It told an interesting story. It was no surprises. You kind of knew where it was going. I liked it better. And of course, I can't think of the title of the movie now with Andy Griffith. It just kind of reminded me of that.
This was Noah facing the crowd.
Yeah, facing the crowd. It reminded me of the telling of that, except for politics instead of marketing and all that. But yeah, it was okay. I am considering watching one of the remakes just to see what they kind of did. See if they. I know there's a Sean Penn version that I might try to stomach Sean Penn for a couple hours to check out. But yeah, it was good. What about you? What did you think?
I thought there were some good ideas here. Yeah. And I thought when Broderick Crawford was on screen playing Willie Stark, that was the best part of the film.
Oh, yeah.
It's a one-scene movie to me. And I'll discuss that scene. But I just, my issue was the John Ireland character, Jack Burton, I did not care about his character at all. I wanted to see more of Willie Stark. I didn't care about any of the side stuff and the people he was impacting. I just wanted to see Willie Stark. And I thought that the movie jumped around a little bit. It seemed disjointed as far as the time jumps and disjointed as far as the he's good, now he's bad.
Right.
And we didn't get to see that slow burn into falling. And it's because they wanted to focus so much time on the other people and their relationships. And I would have preferred more Willie Stark.
Yeah, they rushed. They rushed somewhere. They all of a sudden got, maybe it was so much in this novel that they just couldn't quite figure out how to get it in and filmed a whole lot of scenes and then decided, oh crap, forgot we're supposed to have this guy turn.
But yeah, I mean, because it just seemed very abrupt. That was my issue.
Definitely. I see where you're going with that. And I, now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, it did kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, you saw Lonesome Road, you saw kind of slowly start buying into him on his own self and his power and his thing. Yeah, this one was like, I'm a good. Oh, bad guy.
So to me, and I don't know, maybe you'll disagree, the best scene of the movie was the first big speech where he's drunk and he's laying into the crowd and you see the people start to slowly cross their arms and lean in to listen to him because he's, as he says, you know, I've learned how to win. And basically, or he says that later, but you know, he's giving them his, because early in the film, he was given just like a very policy wonky speech. I have taxes and this. And now he's laying in with that fire and brimstone for the first time. And I thought that was, to me, the best scene in the movie and really the only scene worth watching.
Yeah. So I don't know what else was up. But I mean, should this have won Best Picture? What world? And he won too, right? Didn't he win?
He did. He did, and the woman who played Sadie, his kind of campaign manager, which I guess we should say, it was interesting that they had, in 1949, they had a character who was a female that was,
that's true,
in some respects, calling the shots.
Right.
She won Best Supporting Actress, I believe. But the movies for Best Picture were All the King's Men, Battleground, 12 High, A Letter to Three Wives, and The Heiress.
I know none of those.
So I think next year is the big year. Let me pull up.
What year was this? 40.
This came out in 41 or 49. So it was the 1950 Oscars. But I think, if I remember correctly, the 1951 Oscars was a little bit, there were some bigger films that year.
I mean, well, then maybe those are big films and I just don't know. I think I've heard of 12 O'Clock High, but nothing, only because I was thinking, isn't that just a ripoff of High Noon? But
so, yeah, the next year, American in Paris.
Okay.
Events. And Decision Before Dawn, A Place in the Sun, Quo Vadis, and then A Streetcar Named Desire. So that's the next year. But there is a movie that I believe won Best Foreign Film at the 1950 Oscars. And that would be Bicycle Thieves.
Bicycle Thieves. I started to have that here.
So I would say that is certainly should have won Best Picture.
Yeah.
So and it won Best Picture for the second annual Timmys. If you haven't watched that, it's on the archives. So go check it out. We also have the audio on YouTube.
Well, it definitely should have won over this.
Yeah.
This was okay, though.
Yeah, it just, like you said, formulaic, I didn't think of any, there wasn't any really compelling shots. I don't know how beloved this movie is, and the only reason I say it is, you know, a lot of these older films that are beloved, they do a little bit of an HD touch-up, and the version I watched was not touched up very much. So I thought that was telling.
Yeah, I really never, because of course, I thought, last week, I thought it was All the President's Men is when you said that.
Yeah.
Which, definitely political. And then, so I've never heard of, I don't think I've ever heard of this movie. Or maybe I've heard it and just I've always heard All the President's Men when people were talking about it. But yeah, it was, I asked your grandma about it and she didn't seem to really, it didn't seem to ring a bell with her either. So
I think it's skippable.
Yeah. Just watch Facing the Crowd.
Yeah. Watch Facing the Crowd. Watch, I know you might disagree with me on this. Watch Citizen Kane.
I mean, it was the same kind of movie, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it was probably, was it better than Citizen Kane?
No, Citizen Kane is better than this movie. It has much more interesting shots.
I feel like I'll sell out if I say that, so I'm going to.
Okay. Don't bring your gimmick.
Carry my banner in and say never watch Citizen Kane or this.
Well, that is All the King's Men again, winner of Best Picture. They're not all actual winners. And with that, we're about to hop to our next film. So our next film is Air Force One, which of course came out in 1997, an R rating, 2 hour and 4 minute runtime, a 6.5 on IMDb, and on the Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 78, so it is certified fresh, and a 66 audience score. It, of course, stars Mr. Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman, Glenn Close, Wendy Crewson, etc. William H. Macy has a small part in it. But it's the Harrison Ford movie, and directed by, I don't know if I said it, directed by Wolfgang Peterson. What did you think of Air Force One?
Well, this is those popcorn movies, as you like to call them.
Yes. Yeah, I made a bag of popcorn. I paused it 5 minutes in. I said, I need my popcorn. Yeah,
I made my popcorn. I had forgotten just how much I liked this movie.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen all this is just the epitome of a popcorn movie. It has your Harrison Ford, who, he's made a few that I didn't really care for, but playing the way I want him to play. I want him to play the hero. He that's what he is. Han Solo, even though Han Solo is a little shady, he's still a hero. Indiana Jones, but this guy is a kick-ass president. This is the president we need. It's just a great character. It's a silly movie. There's some absolutely silly, silly shots, you know, back of planes opening and people not being sucked out. And I don't care who you are, you're not hanging on to a little strap, hanging up and flapping out of the back of a plane and not letting go. But I didn't care. I think that was awesome. Of course, the line of get off my plane is just fantastic.
I misquoted that forever. I always thought it was get off my damn plane.
You know what? And I did too. I thought there was an ex- I okay, then you know what? Maybe that's been something's been done to that because I thought it was too. I had forgotten Gary Holt was in it. Who, you know, is fantastic whenever he wants to whatever he wants to play, he's gonna play it. But I like his bad guys much better. Like I can't stand him as in Batman. He's not Commissioner Gordon.
I would agree.
Come on, he's a bad guy.
Gary Oldman was sadistic in this, and it was great.
He was very sadistic.
He was a great villain, and a great foil for Harrison Ford's President Marshall. Before we get into the actual film, I should say I did look up some interesting trivia. Around election time, a lot of media sites typically put up their own little election polls for all of the fake presidents that have been in films. And President Marshall typically wins these polls. And I would say that President Marshall should not win those polls because the person who comes in second typically is the man who would be my president. Who, if you were choosing a fake president from these films, who would you want?
Oh, that's so many of them. I kind of like the designated survivor president with Kiefer Sutherland, but I can't think of his name. I don't want Frank Underwood.
No.
I don't know if you would, people that watch that, but I'm fine with Marshall. So who?
There's an obvious one you're missing, sir.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
You know, there's only one president who has united the world for one cause. And he said that together, today is the world's Independence Day. And that's President Whitmore.
No, Bill Pullman was a horrible president. It was lame.
Hey, as I pointed out in the film, we were watching it. President Whitmore didn't need assistance to fly his fighter jet, unlike President Marshall. And he took on an alien invasion. President Whitmore.
I'm gonna go President Marshall all the way. So we're gonna put up a poll.
Of course, that's the only
two choices though. We're gonna have a runoff and so, see who votes.
Not that it matters, but just for curiosity's sake, do you think President Marshall is a Republican or a Democrat?
Democrat.
You think so?
Yeah.
Just because Harrison Ford refused to play Republican.
Probably. I don't know because they don't get into any of his policies. I mean,
I just was curious.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that would. I'm going more on the fact that he actually had a woman vice president, and his.
I won't comment on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, I know this is a great film. Like you said, great popcorn film. Kind of a Die Hard feel, you know, it's Die Hard in a plane.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It ain't Die Hard. It ain't Die Hard, but it's good.
But he's sneaking around and he's staying stealth, and we don't even know it's the president doing this at first. And yeah, it was shocking. I mean, and it wasn't for any other reason. It was his family. I mean, he was a complete, you know, it wasn't like he was doing this for his nation or anything like that. I thought it was, if things got changed or how much, what the people that watch this are in charge of Air Force One thought, because, I mean, I'm sure this is nothing like the way things run, but I don't like when they do movies that give people ideas.
Yeah, well, President Clinton actually is a fan of the film. Of course, he was president when it came out. And actually, President Trump is also a fan of the film. But Clinton said he had commented and said that the parachute thing that they the little pod that they that doesn't exist. So
I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah, he was like, no.
But does it now? Maybe it was a good enough idea where, you know, hey, that's
right. Sometimes art influences reality.
I need a transporter.
But no, it was a really good film. I enjoyed it. It was what it was, obviously. turn your brain off, watch Harrison Ford beat up some people. It was, there were a couple of very funny things that, I don't want to say took me out of the movie, but just interesting. One was, came out in 1997. A few months before this, another plane-based film came out that we've reviewed.
Con Air.
Con Air came out the same year, like a couple months beforehand.
Got you.
This was at the time, that year, it was the fifth grossing highest film of all time, or of that movie, of that year, excuse me. It was the number one grossing R-rated film of the year, and actually at the time was the number one grossing, highest grossing R-rated film. It took off the vampire movie, The Interview with a Vampire. And obviously that record's been broke several times over at this point. But it was funny, though, because there were two things. One was a connection to Con Air. When the president has his first interaction, when they're in the luggage area and he's pointing the gun at him, immediately in my brain, I went, put the bunny back in the box. And the other thing was, what was hilarious, typecasting Harrison Ford, of course, was, you know, he's sitting in the cockpit and he's talking to people about what to do. And I'm like, Han Solo doesn't know how to fly this? What's going on? But yeah, it was
whip. He could have pulled some guns out of people's hands with his whip.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a really good movie. Gary Oldman in some respects made, I think Gary Oldman was probably better than Harrison Ford in this, just because he was so sadistic.
Yeah.
But
he had no problem shooting people, that's for sure.
No, but there's that great line where he shoots the the national security advisor, and he says, you know, he's a very good negotiator, he bought you 30 more minutes, which was the time to
go.
That was great. This is I would say a must watch, a popcorn film, no yeah. doubt. A good movie. And this, yeah, just fun. Of course, it's interesting because we're in that time where we haven't made the switch over. I thought that was interesting. You know, for the longest time, it was always the Russians were the bad guys in films. Right. And then we switched over to more Middle Eastern foreign villains. And right. We were still in that. I can guess when the shift happened, but it was interesting that we were still in that, you know, Russians are the bad guys in films. So I thought that was,
we're still dying down.
Yeah. So very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add to this wonderful movie?
Nah, just, you know, it is what it is. It's just nothing but a 2-hour just hero takes out the bad guy. Just happens to be the president this time.
Okay.
It was good. It was fun. Like seeing it.
Well, that works for me. That works for me. Well, let's go ahead and hop into our last little bit here, which is, of course, the movies for next week. Next week, we're going to be continuing our march through the decades. We took a quick pause, you know, in October, so we could just focus on just Halloween movies and not be constrained, but back on the march to do the 80s now. And our main feature is going to be
the golden era of cinema.
You would say it is up there. But our main feature is going to be a movie that is synonymous with the 80s and probably in some respects the very definition of 80s films. We're going to be doing The Breakfast Club as our main feature.
Your sister and I's favorite movie together.
It is a great, great film. And I'm curious, you seem to be struggling when I made you the suggestion because there's so many great films to choose from. What did you decide to go with?
I actually went through, I went through the top movies, and mm-hmm. all those were those kind of movies where, they're all great, but we've seen them over and over again. So I was trying not to pick things that we've seen over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about going obscure, and then so then I thought, well, let's do something that might tie in with something that's coming up. So I thought about they're going to be making a TV show coming up here soon. So I decided to pick Willow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's very 80s.
Yeah, you know, it's 80s, and I haven't seen it in a while. And, you know, George Lucas and Ron Howard. I mean, you can't. It's a great team. And I haven't seen it in a while. Of course, they're going to be making Disney Plus. It's going to be having a Willow show, apparently. So, why not?
Okay. Well, I decided the 80s were about in film. You had your John Hughes films. And then there was another very important. You had 80s were three things. Action, horror, slashers to be specific, and John Hughes films. We just got done with Halloween, and the other one's a John Hughes film, so I wanted to go action. And there are only two gentlemen that I could look at that epitomized the 80s cinema, and that was Stallone and Schwarzenegger. Yep. And last year, we kicked off one of the beginning of season two with The Terminator. So I thought we should only pay respects to Mr. Stallone this year. And we're going to go with First Blood.
Rambo.
The first Rambo movie, which I've never seen. I've never seen any of the Rambo movies.
I haven't seen the last one, but I've seen all the other ones.
Yes. So it seemed I needed a Stallone film, and I needed, this seemed like his biggest one. So, yeah. All right. Rambo. So that seemed like a proper, so we're going to go First Blood.
Okay. We can do that.
Yeah. So Breakfast Club, Willow, and First Blood. I think that's a pretty good summary of the 80s.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to add before we...
Here's some useless trivia I learned from Gilbert Gottfried's podcast last night.
Go ahead.
I'm an Odd Couple fanatic. I love the Odd Couple movie, I love the play, and I love this TV show. Mm-hmm. Jack Klugman, who played Oscar, mm-hmm. and Quincy later, had a roommate when he was dirt poor. Before, when he was still making Twilight Zones, which, do you know how many Twilight Zones Jack Klugman made?
No.
Some people say two. He actually made four. He's in four Twilight Zones. Rod Serling really liked Jack Klugman. He's in a couple really good ones that I really like. Anyway, when he was a struggling actor, even when he was doing 12 Angry Men, mm-hmm. he was raised poor. He was a Jewish kid in Philadelphia. He was so broke that he had to, beg and not, he went to bed hungry every day. He didn't eat. He had a roommate in Hollywood. Okay. Would you like to guess who Jack Klugman's roommate and friend for life was?
I'm going to guess because this is our election themed episode. No, wait, when was this? Is it Reagan?
No.
Okay.
This you talk about Odd Couple. This should have been the Odd Couple. Jack Klugman's roommate was Charles Bronson.
Interesting.
Charles Bronson and Jack Klugman lived together and were friends and roommates for years. And starving artists, starving actors. I find Charles Bronson and Jack Klugman the craziest pair of people to put together. But there you go.
There you go.
Just a silly bunch of trivia.
The whole show is silly, but you know. Well, that's pretty much it. I'm excited to watch these 80s films. Of course, we are going to have more Beast Morphers coming, Power Rangers Beast Morphers coming out. We're making our way through those episodes, as well as Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Those are exclusively on the YouTube, so no audio. You know,
is one of my
bold statements.
Power Rangers Beast Morphers is the greatest Power Ranger inclination ever.
No, there's only one answer to that, and everyone will give you the same answer. It's In Space.
Well, I haven't seen In Space. I've seen, isn't that the one with the dog?
No, you're thinking of SPD.
Okay. So In Space, so I've seen some of them, but I'm telling you, this show has got me sucked in.
It's good.
I absolutely love this show. I don't care. I'm 52 years old and I'm watching a Power Ranger show, and I'm enjoying it as though it's a primetime show.
It's good. So here's the thing about In Space. It was the last of the Zordon era. So they did Mighty Morphin, they did Zeo, they did Turbo, and then after that they did In Space. Everyone hated Turbo. So because the ratings kept declining, In Space, they said, all right, this is going to be it. This is going to be the last season, and we're going to just go for broke. and they went crazy and just did everything and went higher budget and they just went at it. And so they, but they made it so good that they're like, all right, let's keep doing it again. But it ended the Zordon era. That was the last one Zordon went to, was in. And then after that, that's when it went to the yearly, it's completely different every year. But that's what really ended that
Okay.
era. So in
I'll have
space.
to check it out because I'm telling
Yeah.
you, I am really enjoying.
Yeah.
And I am totally wanting, while I'm editing your reviews, I'm screaming at you that you are rating this thing too low, these monsters too low. These guys are great. They look fantastic. The voices you're kind of right on. Although, like the last one we did,
Was it Railtron?
which one? Railtron. The guy that did his voice has done like 300 different voices
Oh,
for
yeah.
Power Rangers. He's a big guy, but yeah, I don't know. You're right, and I keep wanting to pop up. Your wife told me I should pop up a little screen on the side and have my ratings arguing with you, but I've been nice and not done that. But oh,
That's
man,
fine.
this show is fantastic. I
That's
love
cool.
the theme. I love. You know what's weird about it sometimes? I don't know if you've paid attention, but I'm running a line of it while I'm watching your thing, so I know. Sometimes the credits don't come on like 15 minutes into the thing, it seems like.
Yeah, they'll do like the credits and the theme song, like, all right, we're halfway through the episode. Play the theme
Yeah, it
song.
really throws me off because I think that that's part of a scene, and then all of a sudden the credits start rolling. I'm like, oh, I can't use this, but yeah, it's pretty crazy. But it's a good show, and the only thing better is the reviews on
I would agree.
YouTube. I mean, they're just fantastic.
I would agree. Great, production quality. So,
Yep, they're
okay.
good. So I think everybody should go to YouTube and check those out.
Absolutely. Well, we're gonna go enjoy our Sunday, watch our Dallas Cowboys get their next loss. The
Not
march
feeling
toward
so good.
the march to the number one pick is here.
We're on. Well, this is game number six.
No, this is eight.
Eight? Oh, my Lord, I've been missing. And we're on our fourth quarterback. So go, team, go.
Well, we could be on our third still, but they just, took him out.
I think he asked to come out. I think he's cowering in the corner saying, please, Mr. Jerry, don't put me out there again. Those big guys were trying to get me.
Yeah. All right, well.
Jerry said he just wasn't ready. He just
He's a seventh round
said it,
pick.
yeah, he said it totally blew his he blew that poor little guy's mind. Yeah, but
You got to get him up to speed.
yeah, I guess. I mean, you got drafted. You gotta step up. And
Yeah.
especially when you're given the keys to the castle, you better step up big time. You look how many quarterbacks, I mean, Romo and Dak and all of them that have come in and taken over and actually made their spot by being so great. And he just, I don't know. I didn't think it was as bad as people are saying, but he definitely was not ready.
He was just pro it was you could see he was it was too it, he was
He was in
processing
his
it.
head.
Yeah.
I think he was in his head.
Yeah.
But
Well,
that's okay. It happens.
it is what it is. Well,
Yeah.
we'll see you all next time on a podcast named Tim, and we're gonna go have some fun now, watch some good movies and watch them with us.
Woo.
Yeah, and we'll put up that poll. Here's my campaign for President Whitmore, the greatest president in fake movie history.
He didn't kick Gary Oldman's ass. That's all I'm saying.
He just destroyed, aliens.
Aliens are easy.
You're so wrong on this. All right. We will see you all next time on a podcast named Tim.